section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
An ECW original passes, Titus is suspended, and Daniel Bryan retires. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. We have two special guests. We have Roger Cabe and Doug Hahn. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. So Axel Rotten has passed away, an ECW original. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so Axel Rotten was one of those guys. He was not he was kind of a mainstay in ECW, but he wasn't the memorable guys. You know, he wasn't an RVD or even a Sandman. You know, he was one of those guys, though, that was like, he was like the cartilage, you know, like he was not, you know, he kept things together. You know, he was like the lettuce in a sandwich and a BLT, you know, sort of thing is the best way to describe him. And unfortunately, he had passed away and, you know, he was relatively young. He wasn't, you know, wasn't that old. We don't have an official word yet. One of the things I had read, though, is that the police said that there were no drugs found at the location. That doesn't mean that, you know, his tox screen came back, you know, without anything. But it's just it's really sad. What do you have to say about it, Doug?
I kind of suspected drugs or something along those lines, or like kind of in Eddie Guerrero's case where it was previous drug use that caused his heart to slow down and eventually stop. It wasn't that he was technically on drugs at that time. So I like to see what the tox comes back, but it's just another sad story of a wrestler dying way too early.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Axel Rotten wasn't a mainstay or a big name guy, but anytime someone passes away, just on a human standpoint, at 45, you know, it's obviously way too early and way too young. You know, sad to see him go. You know, I suspect drugs as well. Hopefully, it's you know, maybe it was just a Harkin failure or something like that. I think, you know, as we're seeing with, you know, football and wrestling, and you know, this takes a toll on these guys' bodies, so. You know, we've seen wrestlers for the last 20, 30 years die too young. This is another case.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, to move on to something that happened on Monday night. So Titus O'Neil has been suspended, and the reports right now are saying 60 to 90 plus days. And one of the things that had happened was at the end of Raw. Now, for the telecast of Raw, it ended. It went on very long, but it ended before Bryan got up to the ramp, where people were chanting yes and everything. And at the end, after Bryan goes back, Titus O'Neil gave Vince McMahon a playful push. And I guess Vince turned around, and in one of the angles you can see, like, he kind of pushes back and is smiling. And Triple H and Steph were smiling as well. And it looked a little funky. It was like, well, you know, that's the boss. Why would you ever push the boss? And then the next day, and then the day after, we get confirmation that Titus O'Neil has been suspended. Doug, what are your thoughts on the situation, and does the punishment fit the crime?
Well, I just want to give some advice to Titus right now. If you're looking for a push, pushing the boss is not the way to go about it. It's weird that to miss 60 to 90 days on what everybody is calling a playful push or a playful just playing around. I mean, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. I know that they were trying to get to Titus an actual real push, I heard, but you know, we'll see. I don't think it fits the crime.
I just got something updated. It updated about 30 minutes ago. It's actually now has been reduced to 60 days that he's been suspended. Just to give you a heads up, and it's from, there's a lot of places. This one's actually confirmed by. Multiple places have now confirmed it.
Thing that's interesting about this is that nowhere on WWE, at least as of this taping, nowhere on WWE.com does it say anything about Titus getting suspended. And in, I guess, some of the stuff on the network, they have cut the portion where he pushes Vince McMahon. So that's it sounds like maybe Vince, you know, it's kind of, he has a little holier than thou attitude, which, I get it. You own the company. You want people to respect you. I totally understand that. And I'm not saying Titus is in the right by any means. But it is kind of a weird punishment for the crime, though. Even 60 days, you know, to suspend somebody for was something that didn't seem like it was that it wasn't aggressive. It was a little playful. You know, if anything else, you know what I would do personally? I would not suspend him. I would have him wrestle on SmackDown. And guess what? He's going to lose to Heath Slater. And then you know what he's going to do? He's going to wrestle on Raw. Guess who he's going to lose to? El Torito. And then guess who he's going to lose to next? He's going to lose to God. He's going to have a handicap match against God, and he's going to lose. That's what's going to happen.
And then Zach Gowen comes out.
To answer your question about does the punishment fit the crime, why do the fans have to be punished by watching Titus O'Neil wrestle all of those people because he decided to shove Vince? We didn't do anything wrong, please don't punish us. I'm going to say, first off, I did notice this actually at Raw. I happened to be looking at the entranceway, and I saw a weird little commotion. I think I even said something like, that's weird. So I didn't know it was Titus, of course, because you couldn't see back then. I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, but not to be completely WWE, but both of us work at Microsoft. I would never shove any of my bosses at Microsoft, even if we were close and we were friends. This was a somber moment. This was a wrestler retiring. This was, you know, a tribute, you know, similar to what we gave Edge and Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. This was really not the appropriate time to be horsing around. Mm-hmm. And I think the suspension is mostly because it was just inappropriate misconduct at the wrong time. Like, this wasn't necessary. And also, kind of know your place. You're not Triple H. You're not John Cena. You're not invaluable to the company. Like, nothing of value is lost. I could care less if I never see Titus O'Neil again. If this were AJ Styles, probably nothing comes of it. If this were John Cena, Randy Orton, any of those guys, Undertaker, probably nothing comes of it. Titus O'Neil, you're not a primetime player, you know? I mean, just to be quite honest. So you shouldn't have done this. If you wanted to joke around with Vince, and I don't know how close they are, and maybe this is an inside joke, though I doubt it concerning the reaction, do this backstage, do this off camera. 60 days is fine by me. I mean, you shouldn't have done it. It was stupid. You're a nobody, in my opinion. You're not a good wrestler. You have an okay character. You know, if they release him, good riddance. Like, I'm not bothered by this in the slightest.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I echo your sentiments. Now,
Did you see Batista's tweet to him?
I did. He said that he should just quit the company, ask for his release. I think, though, that he didn't say that. He was just kind of having fun with the fans, is my guess, because Batista has a love-hate relationship with WWE. You know, he was on Jericho's podcast about a year ago, and he had talked about how he actually really likes wrestling at house shows because, you know, there it's just about fun, and he hates being on the TV because of how creative is and how they micromanage everything. And he said that he hates that now as opposed to what it was when he was on his rise. Now, one of the things that we really need to talk about. So this past Monday, Roger and I had the privilege of being at Raw the night that Daniel Bryan retired. And of course, everybody who listens to this already knows that Daniel Bryan had to retire due to for medical reasons. And so the thing that's very interesting about this is that he was cleared to come back, and that we were seeing all these reports about how WWE did not clear him, but all these other doctors did. And he even Brian confirmed a lot of that, saying that he was training and he was ready to go. And every report that, you know, everything he took kept saying, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. But then he, I guess, took a test very recently that showed that there was actually a lot more damage than originally thought. And he talked about this. And in particular, one of the things that he had talked about was that he had 3 concussions in the first 5 months of becoming a wrestler. And the crowd was insanely hot for Brian. The moment he said that, it, like, you can hear a pin drop. And if you go back and watch that set, like that segment too, like, just know the crowd is yes, yes, you know, Daniel Bryan. And then I had 3 concussions in 5 months. Crickets. So it was it was very somber. Roger, you were there. What were your thoughts on the segment overall? I mean, it was about a 30-minute kind of farewell speech and everything. What were your thoughts overall on it?
I think it was Meltzer who tweeted out, you know, before previously they'd called the Ric Flair segment the greatest, you know, retirement segment in history, and now it's second best. And I agree with him. I think that was the best farewell I've ever seen in WWE history, mostly because it was hometown. It was genuine. This wasn't a scripted retirement. This wasn't, you know, oh, hey, this is a loser leaves town match. This was someone pouring their heart out, someone whose career had been cut short by injuries and saying basically goodbye to the fans. This is what Bret had always dreamed of doing when he had to leave, unfortunately, on bad terms. And so I was happy that Brian got to do this. One of the things that you mentioned was about how he said the three concussions in 5 months, and all of us just, you know, it's like that feeling when your throat just, you know, your heart comes up, because I think that was the moment, at least personally, where I knew it was over. There was no chance this was a work. There was no chance he was coming back. There wasn't even a chance that I wanted him to come back anymore. Like, it was at the point now where it's like, you know what? Too much happened to you. You got to stop. You cannot continue with what we know about concussions now, having read everything about what happened in the football and seeing the beatings that these guys take. I mean, I think they are in the road over 300 days a year. They wrestle hundreds of matches, which means who knows how many concussions they've gotten over the years. He had to stop. It's like he said, my brain was much worse than I ever realized. Great segment. I was sad. It was the closest I've ever come to, you know, holding back tears, just watching someone. Because like Flair was at the end of his career. He had had 20 to 30 years. You know, Shawn had 20 to 30 years. Austin, even when I saw his retirement match, he had been there for years. This was a guy who finally got his moment at WrestleMania 30. And it was like, you're finally going to be the guy. And it just got cut short. And as much as I wanted him to come back and reclaim his spot on the top, when he got hurt last year, Bret Hart tweeted, he said, Daniel Bryan's done. You'll never see him again. And I kind of knew he was probably done. And we talked about it a couple times. Oh, we'd like to see him at Survivor Series. Oh, we'd like to see him at Rumble. But it was like, I think he's done. I didn't want to believe it. I kind of didn't want to accept it. But I kind of knew, I didn't think we were going to see Bryan again.
Yeah. And Doug, you obviously watched the segment at home. How did it come across to you on TV?
It came across very, very well. You could tell that, like you said, the crowd was really into it with the yes chants and the Daniel Bryan chants. And then you're right. You could hear absolutely, you know, anybody speak, or no one was even shouting too. And I think that's the amazing thing is with the quiet, usually you have one idiot fan that wants to yell out something or just so that they can be heard on TV. You didn't hear that. You saw the respect for him, which is well deserved. They did show the when the full roster came out, because I turned onto the network afterwards too, and you could see all the roster going out there and doing the yes chants. And I mean, there was no you know, hiding it, or, you know, it wasn't like the heels were still pretending to be heels. Everybody was doing it. Everybody was sad to see him go. And you know, you saw a lot of the tweets and everything, but you know, the whole night it was kind of it was nice. And you could tell it wasn't a work just because of the fact that every commercial break led in and came back with the Daniel Bryan tribute. So it's sad to see him go. I wish it was on better terms.
And Andy, what about you?
This was a tough one for me. When he said that he was retiring, and he said, see, it was really sad for me watching. And I was like, this is probably the saddest thing. And I don't watch Raw live. There's been, I think I can count on my hand in the last 5 years how many times I've watched Raw live. And this is one of the times, because I didn't want to miss it. And of course, you guys were there. So I was like, I want to see their reaction as well if they're ever on TV. And I did switch it right over to the network. I was so sad about the whole situation. And then on ESPN, there was something he said that I didn't know. He was having seizures. Mm-hmm. And that really bothered me. I was like, wow. This entire time he's been hiding it. And, you know, at one point he said, clear me already. And he didn't. And there's a reason why he didn't need to be cleared. So
I feel that the reason WWE didn't clear him, you know, there was rumors about him getting his release or asking for it. And, you know, whether or not that's even true, I kind of feel that maybe WWE said, well, we have you under contract. We're not going to release you. and we have you for at least 2 years. You are not clear. You are not fit to wrestle. And so we are going to make it so you don't. And you, like, you know, almost like a kind of a tough love sort of thing, which I, if that's the case, I greatly appreciate it. But Andy, you mentioned something about seizures, and something very important that I'm going to send to you guys afterwards is that his match with Sheamus, it was one of his last matches he had ever had. And in there, Sheamus hits him off and he hits the announce table. And you won't think anything of it because you see that spot a lot of times, but he's bleeding. He starts bleeding. And then Barrett gives him a bull hammer, right? And it's not that crazy, but knowing what you know now, when you see him on the ground, he's having a seizure. And it's like you like knowing it now, like it's giving me goosebumps just even saying it, because it's like either that is the greatest sell job that anybody has ever done, or like we're seeing him have a concussion, like having a reaction to that right now. And it's just, it is so sad, because I think the thing for me is that this, he was cut off in the prime of his career as somebody who, you know, he spent we've been doing this show as long as he's been in the WWE, because we started this show when NXT started and Daniel Bryan was there. And I remember both of us were just like, this guy, he's really great. I don't know if he's, you know, if WWE will be able to use him right, but he's fantastic. And so we've been doing the show as long as he's been with WWE, which is what, 6 years now. So I don't know. I mean, it's really crazy. I'm happy that I was able to witness it. But Roger, he brought up something though about what happened, what would have been 2 years ago,
about a year and a half.
Yeah.
2014.
2013. Yeah, so it was December 2013. And what did we do at that Raw?
Probably my, well, actually, I would say guaranteed my now favorite moment to be a part of is at the Slammies, 2013. They were trying to do the championship ceremony. They had all the superstars in the ring, even past legends with Bret and Shawn. And they were trying to hype Orton Cena as like the biggest match of all time. And we hijacked Raw, to use Daniel's term perfectly. We would not stop chanting Daniel Bryan and yes. And Hunter was so angry. I mean, you could see the veins popping out on his neck as he tried to speak maybe two or three times. And we just got louder and louder and louder. And it was amazing without knowing any of the backstory. When Daniel told that story then about how that was the last time his father got to watch him wrestle, because he passed away tragically pretty much maybe a week or two after Daniel won the belt. Now knowing that, you know, that was the last time that Daniel's father got to see him in the ring, to be a part of that moment, it was just like, I am so grateful that I was able to be a part of that moment, because that will forever, not many things can top that. Like, that was a moment that will live on, and I will be eternally, eternally pleased that I was there, that we were a part of it, that is like, that's history. That's a moment that we will talk about 20 years from now.
Yeah. Now, Doug, I have a few questions I wanted to ask you and mm-hmm. everyone else. How often, with Daniel Bryan being gone, obviously he's not going to wrestle in the WWE ever again. Do you think he'll ever wrestle a match again?
I don't think so. I really think that, you know, kind of like what you were hinting at earlier, where WWE is just not going to release him from his contract, at least for the full 2 years. Which is probably best for him too. No, I think they will sign him, and they'll have him as an ambassador for the company, the Goodwill ambassador, or even possibly giving him something like they did with Corey Graves, where he also has way too many concussions, and now he's a mainstay on the pre-show and the NXT broadcast. That, you know, and honestly, I think he's even ready to come up for Raw too for Corey Graves. So I'd like to see. Yeah. Daniel Bryan get something along those lines, whether he goes to the performance center and becomes a coach, mm-hmm. Something along those lines, or a talent evaluator for, you know, going into the indies, because that's where he came from. So they'll find some kind of side role. They'll bring him on TV every once in a while. He'll be one of those people that'll appear at the WrestleManias and do the panels and whatnot a lot. So he will definitely be a WWE ambassador, but wrestling another match, I don't see ever happening.
And Andy, what do you think that we're going to see Daniel Bryan in WWE again, in a manager role or in like a trainer capacity?
I don't even know if they'll put him as a trainer because he'll still have to do bumps. I believe that he'll go and check out the PWG and the PWS shows because he's, you know, a lot of those shows are based out of LA. Lucha La Voom is also over there. And I believe that he'll actually go and scout talent, and that's all he'll do. I don't think they're going to have him ever take a bump, take a hit, any of that stuff. His career is done, unfortunately, and it's sad because I don't think he got to wrestle that one last match. But he said something that actually there's two things he said in his promo that really got to me. He said that he wanted to feel the yes chance, and he closed his eyes. And I thought that was really weird because he's like, they tell you not to do it because you're in character. But he said he had to do it. The other thing was the fact that he said he felt like he was Superman when he dive through the ropes. And I thought that was really cool. I was like, you know, I get it. You know, I see that. It just stinks that he was there, and that's where it stopped. And I don't know, like, it disappoints me to that point, like, to a certain extent, that he could have been the face of this company, but concussions really are what hurt him. But I think they held him back too long. And that's the other thing. But
we could go down that rabbit hole.
Let's not. I actually had a question.
Well, all of us agree on that.
Yeah.
I have a question.
He should not have been wrestling what he was wrestling when he came back that second time.
Right.
I mean, we're all in agreement on that. You know, have him only wrestle Raws. Have him just come out and get the crowd hot. And don't even do a match. You know, that's what he should have been doing. But, you know, 300 dates a year for him in that status, no way. I do want to just bring up one small thing, which was before Daniel Bryan came out, because when we knew it was the last segment, the 3 minutes where it was dark, it was commercial break, Daniel Bryan chants were going on. Daniel Bryan chants were going on, and there was nothing for people to chant to or about. Lillian wasn't saying, hey guys, do your chants. You know, it was Daniel Bryan, Daniel Bryan, Daniel Bryan. And then yes, yes, yes. Before he even came out for 3 solid minutes when it was dark. So I really hope, and I'm sure that he was, you know, backstage in Gorilla, and I hope that it brought a smile to know that the fans appreciated him that much, that they were doing it at a time they didn't need to necessarily, but we were showing our appreciation. Roger, what do you think is next for Daniel Bryan?
So I think, for one, just for his own personal mental health, you know, wellness, I hope he takes some time off. I hope, you know, because this is obviously a big change, right? He's been a wrestler for the last 16 years of his life. Like he said, Tuesday was the first time that he's not a wrestler since he's been an adult, is what it sounds like. I think he's about 34, 35. I think eventually he will probably become a scout. Kind of to echo what Andy said, you know, I think he's the perfect guy to say, hey, go tell me who's the next big star in Evolve or PWG or who has that it factor. You know, Triple H has kind of built NXT looking for guys like Bryan. So it makes sense for Bryan to do something like that. I think we will also see him when they come to Seattle because he is that perfect guy to get the crowd hype. He would be perfect for a special referee where all he had to do was clothesline someone. He doesn't take a bump or anything like that. And I think he'll be that type of guy who comes out if WrestleMania ever comes back here. And I really hope it does. Let's say WrestleMania 34 is out here. You know, if Daniel Bryan came out as an unannounced special guest referee, the pop would be insane. I mean, you'd have Safeco Field going crazy. So I think we'll see him in those type of roles, but I think he will never step foot in a ring again. I think he accepted what WWE probably knew already, was that you're done. It's the same thing they had to tell Edge. Look, if you get back in this ring, you could die. And it's as much as we love watching him wrestle, I would rather him walk away on his own terms than him be forced to walk away or not be able to walk away.
Yeah. And hey, Roger, I had a question for you real quick. You've seen Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, and Stone Cold all retire?
I wasn't at the Shawn one at 26. I saw Shawn retire Flair.
Okay. So which one was the hardest one to get through?
Well, so I saw Austin retire at WrestleMania 19. I saw Flair at 24. And while both of those were sad, those were the end of their careers. Like, I had accepted that that was kind of the end point. You know, they were both – they'd already had their run at the top. This was by far the hardest one that I've seen because it was like – it just felt too soon. Like, he was cut off right when he was getting hot, in my opinion. This, and then the speech was just very, very real. Like Flair's was he was just talking about his career and all the things that he had done. And it was really awesome and it was cool and it was great. But this was just like, this was someone talking from the heart about just being robbed of what he loved. And there was nothing he could do about it. Like I was so sad when he was talking about how he wanted to wrestle and we chanted, I think, no, no. And you could just see, he was like, I don't want to be doing this either. Like he tried everything he could. He fought it. He had, you know, how many different doctors clear him. But at the end of the day, like he said, his brain was just messed up. So, I mean, this was the only one where I was just like, I dreaded this moment being everything that it was because I knew he probably should never step back in a ring again. And it hurt. It sucked because I loved watching him wrestle.
All right. Got a quick question for you guys. Have you guys had the chance to watch it Raw?
I did, yeah.
Okay. During the commercial breaks, because I really noticed it at the very, very beginning, the first hour of Raw seemed to drag and drag and drag. Was there anything else going on like that we weren't seeing at the live show? That did they do any other vignettes or anything else for Daniel Bryan?
So I watched the show and it looked like all the vignettes that we had seen about Daniel Bryan were also there. You know, I mean, it was like pretty much every commercial break. So I assume that it was that they show commercials for the WWE Network incessantly. I was asking Roger, I was like, how many people here do you think have it? You know, like just talking about it. But no, nothing terribly special really happened during the commercial breaks. It was, you know, just matches and stuff like that. So
to add on to the point, with the exception of when Brock Lesnar was in there, the arena was kind of in like a, I don't want to say a hushed anticipation, but there was a feeling of dread that just kind of hung over the entire, like we all, I think, knew in the back of our minds that it was coming and we tried to talk ourselves out of it. I mean, I know I did. I presented so many scenarios of,
It's a work. Come on. Yeah. It's a work.
Like, I wanted nothing more than Undertaker's gong to hit and him to challenge him to a Mad at Mania or Kevin Owens to come out. Like, just something that would tell me, oh, he isn't done. And then, like, as it got later, because we were hoping if it's not the main event, maybe it's a work. And then when we realized, like, nope, they're closing the show with this. Like, it was just like we knew he's done. And you wouldn't have main evented for an angle like this. Like, this was goodbye. And it was just – I mean, the crowd was into it, but – I think a lot of us got drained the moment we kind of found out that morning that Bryan was retiring, because it was just like, really? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, I haven't really even been in a wrestling mood for the last 2 days, because all I can think about is like, really? He's gone? Like, even though I knew he was probably gone, this was like, he's gone, gone.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands out the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're saving 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you gotta lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page. Click on the banner at the top, say big on items from WWEshop.com, including some title belts and the Daniel Bryan Yes, Yes, Yes shirt. There's some good discounts on that. All right, so let's talk about what happened this week in WWE programming. It looks like Jericho beats AJ Styles on SmackDown. That's surprising. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they had their little mini feud going on. It was on Raw, where AJ came out to be on the highlight reel / Miz TV, and Jericho actually beat him on SmackDown. I'm okay with this. I'm actually quite okay with it. And the reason why is because I've never been a big fan of like completely like undefeated streaks. You know, they have someone new come in and all they do is they just win consistently. And
Ryback.
Ryback. Rusev is another one. You know, he should have lost that match to Jack Swagger. It was a flag match. But, you know, very similar to this. I'm okay with it. Jericho is a 6-time world champion. You know, he's a 9-time IC champion. Him losing to AJ is not a big deal. And if anything else, at the pay-per-view now, it's tied 1-1. Jericho versus AJ, you know, it's the, you know, it's a 3-part series, and you have AJ win this one. So, Doug, are you against Jericho winning? Or, do you think AJ should have, you know, gotten another win here?
No, I agree with you with everything that you said. I mean, you have Jericho being a a huge player in there. And you know what? Like you said, I'm not a big fan of the undefeated. I think it needs to be something that is special for a certain kind of person, you know, not necessarily the Rusev or the Rybacks, but AJ doesn't need to be undefeated. He doesn't need to go, you know, on a huge winning streak. Jericho being the first one to beat him on WWE, it makes sense. It also adds to the feud, and you can continue it on to Fastlane for the pay-per-view aspect of it. The way they went about it on SmackDown, I think they had a match to begin with the show, and Social Outcast interfered. They tagged, and then they fought again for the main event because all their roster's over in Germany. So why not have them fight three times a night? So, you know what? I bet it made for a great show. I'd watch those guys fight three times in a show. So we'll see how it looks on TV. But it was a clean win, so good for Jericho. And then adding to that last and third and hopefully final match at the pay-per-view.
I have no problem with Jericho beating AJ. My only problem is that I'm curious about the character development, because to me, if you were going to have Jericho go heel, then I think he should have won in a cheating fashion, whether it was a pull of the tights, foot on the rope, you know, something underhanded to say that he kind of stole one if he's going to be turning heel. If he's going to be staying face, then a clean win's fine by me. So I'm just kind of curious on where this goes feud-wise. But, you know, Jericho's got the credentials. There's no problem with Styles. Undefeated streaks should be special, like we've all said. Brock Lesnar going undefeated is fine. Rusev is not. You know, AJ doesn't need to be undefeated. He's not going to wow you with wins. He's going to wow you in the ring. Mm-hmm. Totally fine with this.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great point. Now, the Dudleys on Raw turned heel. The thing that I really need to point out, because when I watched it, and I got the West Coast feed, so I don't know if they edit out anything necessarily, but the Dudleys got cheers for turning heel. And I mean, like, they got massive cheers and a lot of ECW chants, and people were happy. The people were like, yes, thank God. Like the Dudleys are heel. I don't know if they were expecting us to boo them. You probably shouldn't. Seattle's becoming a little smarky. I really felt that, you know, when with what happened 2 years ago with Brian getting hijacking the Raw. And then a few months ago, it was in Everett, which is just north of Seattle. And, you know, it was pretty smarky there. We said thank you, Rollins, when he needs Cena in the face, and he smiled, you know. So we're a little smarky, like a little, not Chicago, you know, not
coming.
We're coming. So the Dudleys turn heel. Do you like this move, Roger?
Oh, I love this move, because the Dudleys, for as good as they are as faces, are infinitely better as heels. I mean, Bubba Ray is fantastic at making a crowd hate him. The Dudleys can be way more vicious with tables when they, you know, are heels. One thing I will say about this, and this is kind of a point that Doug brought up, I think, at the Rumble. This is now the second time that the Usos have been facing a heel team and gotten booed. Mm-hmm. My question, I guess, to you guys is this fallout because we're tired of the Usos? Are they getting a Roman Reigns backlash because they've been pushing them as Reigns family so much that people are now sick of them? I mean, I think, you know, they got the Slammies, and I didn't understand why they got that Slammies. Why is the crowd very hesitant to really get behind them?
I think it's more because it's not just I think it's the association with Roman Reigns to a certain extent. But I believe that if you see a tag team for so long, and like, I like their entrance, but they need to do something with them. You know, I don't know if you split them up yet or I think I've said this multiple times. Sometimes if you go away for too much and you come back, you're hot. You're hot for up to 4 months, maybe even up to 6 months. And then you take them away. I believe that you can do that with these guys. Do they turn heel? I don't see why you would do it, but.
Well, you can't with the Dudleys turning heel now.
But that was smart, though, what they did with the Dudleys, because in a way they're still tweeners, because who they face? It was Mark Henry.
They faced New Day
and Mark Henry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now, I thought that was good because technically New Day, depending on how you look at them, their faces or their heels or their tweeners, no matter. There's one of those three for them. They could be anything right now.
Well, they got very mixed reactions in Seattle. I mean, there was cheers, but there was boos, you know. And, they got a reaction. That's the big thing. And they get a reaction wherever they go. And, Doug, for you at Royal Rumble, you know, the Usos, you know, they got booed. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's just because they don't have anyone else to face? Do you think that the Usos are just – or I'm sorry, that the New Day is just more over than the Usos? Like, what are your thoughts with that?
I think that's almost exactly it. I think the fans are getting tired of watching New Day versus the Usos. We've seen it. We've seen it a hand. I mean, this is becoming the tag team equivalent to John Cena versus Randy Orton. It's always New Day versus Usos. There's no other tag teams in the WWE right now. They're flat are not no tag teams. I mean, with Kalisto being now the U.S. champion, you've kind of ruined the Lucha Dragons. But you know what? Now that Sin Cara's back, let's see what happens. The Matadors have not been seen on TV in forever. Who else is there for the who else is a legitimate threat to New Day? And I think that's been one of the biggest problems is New Day is so over, whether they're a heel, face, or whatever.
Should we bring up Big Cass and Enzo?
I leave that for like another week because I think that feeds into a better discussion of NXT talent coming up because there's a longer discussion to be talked about, like Tyler Breeze was very over on NXT, but didn't work. Bo Dallas was very, you know, what's our thoughts on Breeze? And even that can segue into Finn Balor and other guys who we see coming.
Yeah, that's definitely a very large discussion that we would have. Doug, I totally hear what you're saying. Totally agree with that. I do want to the final thing I want to touch on for Raw and, you know, kind of feeds in just in general. Ryback changed his look last week to just plain black trunks. I will say the crowd actually really was behind him, and his match on Raw was not, if I would have fast forwarded it at home, but the fact that we had to watch it, he didn't do a very bad job. It was actually pretty decent. The ending, the you know, where he went for the meat hook into Sister Abigail, really great. I think Ryback is probably, I would say, one of my most improved wrestlers. Like, I think, you know, because he was absolutely terrible and he's gotten a lot better. But he looks like Goldberg. And I mean, like, it's not even like he looks like Goldberg now. But Doug, what are your thoughts on the Ryback? Do you like what has happened with the character over the past few months? I mean, tell me your thoughts in general.
Well, why not embrace it? I mean, everybody was yelling Goldberg and chanting Goldberg for quite some time now. So why not make him look like Goldberg? I mean, I have no problem with that. Ryback as a character, I think it's kind of one of those things where he's getting lost in the mix of everybody. You know, the problem of, you know, what do we do with him? He has some talent. He is definitely a Vince kind of person, being the big guy, the big workout guy. But I mean, he still does not have any charisma whatsoever, I don't think. And
where do you place him in the hierarchy? You know, like you have jobber, lower, mid, upper, and main event. Where do you have him?
Probably mid.
No.
I mean, he is one of those people that, I mean, because of his size, he can put on some powerful moves and he would be a person that you could definitely, I mean, I don't want to call him a jobber just because I don't want to have him lose every match. But he is definitely somebody that could be put over, like if you had Kalisto beat him because of speed and everything like that.
Well, he did once.
And so you have that where it's like, oh, okay. So that makes Kalisto look really, really good. Not so much for Ryback, but he can make other people possibly look better. But he's not going to make himself look any better anytime soon.
Now, Titus O'Neil, pre-push versus Ryback. Who do you have?
It's a match I don't want to see.
Well, but yeah. Who do you think would win in that one?
The referee.
Who do I think is going to win? I think Ryback would win.
Okay.
And that's
Times out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they missed the boat with him 2 years ago. You know, I don't think he's anything more than mid-tier. I do think what he should be, based on his size, and he's a Vince guy, is that he should be what Braun Strowman is. Because Braun Strowman is terrible. But Ryback is not as bad. Like, he's passable for a power guy. And if you had him as the heat for a guy like Tyler Breeze or even a Bray Wyatt, or, like, let him be the muscle to somebody else who doesn't have the size. And now you have – now look at Tyler Breeze right now. He's not intimidating. But if he has Ryback coming out behind him who could meat hook you at any point in time on the outside of the ring, and then you get hit with a beauty shot – oh, now you have him built up as a legitimate intercontinental contender. He's not a guy who should win the world title, but he's a guy who can fight a Seth Rollins for the championship because the Ryback factor. That's how that guy should be used.
You know what? Like, We didn't do a segment on how to fix Tyler Breeze, but I think you just did. Like, I mean, I hate to say it, but like, but and not necessarily have to have Tyler Breeze like go face or Ryback go heel. Ryback could like kind of go a little tweener-ish. And maybe like Tyler Breeze says, you know, well, when you're this gorgeous, you can buy certain things. Like, you know, like not necessarily like $1 million sort of gimmick, but, you know, kind of a like he's helping Ryback out in a certain way. That's why Ryback is aligning with him. Because, I mean, that's the thing that Tyler Breeze, which we haven't seen him on TV for a while, because they haven't had anything for him because creative is absolutely terrible. You have a tag team now. You need a tag team. You need tag teams to take on the New Day, the Usos, and the Dudleys. Those are the three. And then, obviously, you have Lucha Dragons. I guess you have Social Outcasts, kind of.
They're jobbers. Yeah. They're three-man band part two.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, you don't have enough credible tag teams. Those two right there, oh my God, are you kidding me?
That's a tag like, team.
Absolutely.
And that, and you can do entertaining segments with that.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Breeze trying to teach Ryback some style and some fashion, and then you
have talk.
Eating like a pig, and Tyler Breeze is disgusted. I mean, you know, the comedy, we've seen the Team Hell No, to, you know, segue back to Brian. This could be your modern version of that. You know, that's where Breeze is going to shine, not to tether us into a Tyler Breeze thing. And I think you could let Ryback's character shine a little bit more as opposed to him just being this Terminator clone that they have him being. Like, that is a way to use it. That stupid Ryback's, you know, the bully thing was like an attempt to make him shine, but he just made him look stupid.
Yeah.
Like, it was just dumb. You were like, I don't want to see him bully some random whatever that guy was, but have him be a complete goof to Tyler Breeze. Crowd laughs. We would be entertained. He's still over enough with the live fans.
Do you think it's time that they contact Goldberg and say, hey, you want a quick run to WrestleMania, or is this too late?
No. Goldberg doesn't need to come back. He doesn't. If anything else, it'll actually put more of a spotlight on the fact that he is basically a Goldberg version 2. So I wouldn't do that.
I do like what you're saying about Tyler Breeze, though. That's a great thing that they can be done. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn and Roger Cave and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.